Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs as we continue our series. The title of my message here this morning is Two Kingdoms, One Choice. Two Kingdoms, One Choice. And find ourselves this morning, Proverbs chapter 14. And Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. He that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despise him. And the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but by much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not, but knowledge is easy to him that understands. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the eternal word of God, which is true, God. Thy word is truth. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Lord, may your word settle in our hearts here today, God. Father, as your children, by faith, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with you. And Father, you say that man should not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I pray here this morning that we'd be very attentive to your word and your ways and what the Spirit has to say to the church. So, Lord, bless your word to our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, that may I honor your word and your Son. May you bring glory and honor to yourself. And, Father, may you speak to your people, the church, the body of Christ. And, Father, I pray you guide us into all truth, for you're a God of truth. And may we be very discerning in these times in which we live in. So, Lord, bless us, cleanse us, fill us full of thy Spirit as your people, and ask your blessing upon your word at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's those next three words? Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. God's got a kingdom, and he's going to establish one day. You know, his kingdom is coming. When you pray that prayer, you're asking God, God, send your kingdom. You know, one time Jesus told his disciples, they were talking about the kingdom of God, and he looked at them and said, in so many words, said, you know where the kingdom of God is? It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And you might say, well, how can God's kingdom be in me? You know how God's kingdom is within you? When you let God's word rule in your heart, you're one of his servants in his kingdom. That is how the kingdom of God is within you. When the kingdom of God is within you, you are saying, I am one of the king's servants. I belong to him. His kingdom reigns in my heart. I belong to him. How do you know if you're in the kingdom of God? Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my what? If you love me, you keep my what? If you love me, you keep my what? Commandments. If you don't keep God's commandments, what's that implying? You don't know him. You don't love him. You're not part of his kingdom. Kingdom people understand the kingdom. Now, God gives us all a choice. Do we want to be part of his kingdom? If you say to him, God, I want to be one of your servants, God says, well, good. This is what I want you to do. I want you to repent of your sins, acknowledge your sins, know that you're a sinner, believe on Christ, that he died on the cross for you, buried, rose again from the dead. You can be saved from your sins. You can be part of my kingdom. If somebody refuses God's gift of salvation, now a gift is what? Free. What do you need to get a gift? You just take it. It's there for you. It's free. The kingdom of God is free. The gift of salvation is free. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. A gift is free. You don't work for it. You just take it. God, I want it. Give it to me. He'll give it to you. You can be saved. Be part of God's kingdom. You have a choice because there's some people that reject God's kingdom. What did the rich young ruler do? When Jesus says, come and follow me, what did he do? He walked away, what? Very sad. See, he didn't receive God's kingdom. Now, what did Judas do? Judas was there when he fed the 5,000, when he rose Lazarus from the dead. Judas saw it all. But in Acts, it says Judas went to his own what? His own place when he died. He hung himself. He betrayed the Lord. You can be so close to God, you can know all about theology. See, you can say Christ died, that's history. You can say Christ died for my sins, that's salvation. You can say Christ died for my sins. See, you can believe theology. You can say that Christ died for sins. I'm glad you got theologies. You can say, I believe in God. Guess what? Even demons believe in God. What good does that do? I'm glad you believe in God. But it's not till you say, I believe in God for the salvation of my soul, forgiveness of my sins. I accept his righteousness into my life. You're a kingdom man. You're a kingdom woman. There's two kingdoms, one choice. Now, there's a kingdom of darkness. That's where Satan dwells. That's his kingdom. You don't want to be part of that kingdom. Because guess where Satan's going to end up one day? In the lake of fire. And if you're part of Satan's kingdom, guess what you got to look forward to? Not heaven, but eternal lake of fire with him. I don't want to see anybody be part of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Satan. You don't want to be there. Eternity's coming. You know, prophecy is being fulfilled. You know, thousands of years ago, this Bible said that one day Israel will be a nation again. You name me another nation that's been disbanded for thousands of years and it's come back together again. Name me one. Where are the Hittites at? Where are the Assyrians at? Where are the Philistines at? They're not there anymore. Where is Israel at in the land? God said they're going to come back again. God said that temple is going to be rebuilt again, and the Antichrist is going to enter in that temple and declare himself God. You know, they're making plans right now to rebuild the temple. It's happening. When that temple is rebuilt, but before all that happens, the Antichrist comes, the true believers, what's going to happen to them? The rapture of the church. We're out of here. Church age is over. When the rapture happens, church age is over. God's program goes back to the children of Israel. His plan goes back to them. Two kingdoms, one choice. You make a choice. When we get into the book of Proverbs, the reason I'm setting this up like this, for some people, Proverbs has no application for them because they're not into the kingdom of God. They don't care how God lives. They don't care what God thinks. They're not into all these practical ways to live the Christian life because they're not in God's kingdom. But if you're into God's kingdom, you have a concern about how you live. Because as a believer, we're going to stand before God one day, not for my sins, but for my rewards. How faithful have I been to God? What have I done to serve God? How have I honored God in my life? God says he's going to reward us for how we've honored him. Now, do you want a full reward? 2 John talks about receiving a full reward. You know, we want to have a full reward. How do we live our life? That's why Proverbs is given to believers so that we can take all the nuts and bolts of life and put them together in such a way that when we stand before God, you hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful son. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into what? The joy of the Lord. We want to hear those words that we've lived our life well. Now, Proverbs, it's all kinds of nuts and bolts of how to do life, to give us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14 is where we find ourselves here this morning. Now, if you made a choice for the kingdom of God, you want to be one of God's people, you want eternal life, you don't want to be with the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, but you want to please God. Well, how do I please God? Well, Proverbs 14:1, let's just jump right into this. If you want to please God, look at what verse 1 says. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. Now, let's just take this apart here. First observation about this verse, is this woman building a house out of 2x4s and nails and drywall and block and brick and electrical wires and plumbing? Is that what it's, is that building a house? Is God saying this woman needs to pick up a hammer and a saw and build a house? No, it's not that kind of house. See, I remember reading a story. This pioneering man lived out in the prairie. He didn't have a wife, lived by himself. Finally got a wife one day. And he came, they lived very simply. Before he had a wife, he had a wooden table. And he came home, and you know what he saw after working in the fields? His wife had gathered some prairie flowers, put them in a vase, and set it right on the table. And he said to himself, my wife is making this house a home. You see a woman's touch? He would have never put flowers on the table. A woman comes in and says, this table needs something. I'm going to put some flowers on here. man comes in and says, that's a woman's touch. That's how you make a house into a home, by a woman's touch. You know, another man, I heard him say it like this, that when his bride crossed the threshold of their home, it was totally changed. She made his house a home to live in. Just by her feet crossing over that threshold, she made this home a place of honor and joy and dignity for him as a husband. You know, Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman, now a wise woman is one who thinks ahead, who thinks God's thoughts, who thinks God's ways, who thinks about how do I do the cause and effect? If I do this, what's the result? A wise woman builds her house. She wants to build a house that honors God, honors her husband, honors her children. How does a woman build a house like that? How do you build a home? How do you build this kind of home that honors God? Well, first, it says, what kind of woman? If you want to build a home, what kind of woman? Wise. Wise. Every wise woman. See, it's Proverbs here, it teaches by contrast. Foolish, wise, light, darkness, good, bad, right, wrong. It's how it teaches. It helps us to understand the opposites so that we can discern, where am I at? Am I way over here, the foolish? Am I way over here in the wise? Or am I somewhere in the middle here that I'm doing good some, but not good in other ways? It gives us a way of just discerning. Every wise woman builds her house because she knows one day she'll stand before God and give account of her life. So you want wisdom. Where do you get wisdom from? James says, if any man lacks wisdom, what? Ask of God. Who made the heaven and earth? God did. Who made everything? God did. If you feel you're don't quite have your act together, so to speak, you can ask God, say, God, I don't understand anything here. I got a husband's mad at me all the time. I got children just driving me crazy. I got this problem and this problem. God, what's going on here? And you know, when you put yourself in the place of a teachable spirit, then God can teach you. You see, what does it say down here further? It says, verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of what? Pride. Mouth of fools were our pride. If a woman wants to build a good house, now, women, I'm not being hard on you this morning. Guess what, man? Your time's coming too, okay? All right? This is Proverbs 14:1. This is where we landed this morning. That's what we're talking about. Man, so don't feel like I'm beating up on the women. I'm not. Because your time's coming. God has a word for you too. But, you know, if a woman wants to be wise, a woman has to be teachable. And some people aren't teachable. They don't have an ear to hear because of pride. They think they got it all. Intellectually, they know everything. Don't tell me anything. One thing I've learned in my life, the more I know, the more I realize how little I knew. And that's true. The more you know, the more you realize how little you knew. When you know a little bit, you think you got it all together. But the more you know, I mean, Kurt and I were talking the other day about things, and Kurt says, I just have no answers. I know what he means by that. Because you look at the culture and society and our country, and you just like, aye, aye, aye. Everywhere you turn, there's problems. But a young person, try to tell a teenager what to do sometimes. They can tell you pretty quick they got all the answers, don't they? You understand what I'm saying? They got all, but they get older, all of a sudden they realize life isn't so simple or so clear sometimes. And a wise woman is humble and teachable. A wise woman, if they want to build a good home, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. They restrain themselves from saying things that they might think is true, but not true. A wise woman that wants to build her house, if you're young and you're starting out, the scripture says the older women are to teach what? The younger women. That's God ordained. Now, older women, is there a younger woman you can invest in? I've known some older women that have tried to invest in younger women, and the younger women don't have an ear to hear because they're doing it their way. They know better. And if you're older, you know what I'm talking about. There's sometimes younger people, they're heading down a road, and you can say to them, I've been there. I've done that. It doesn't work. And they say, it will work for me. And you say, I've been there. I've done that. It doesn't work. And they say, it'll work for me. And you say, I've been there. I've done that. It don't work. And guess what? They go do it anyway. And what do? You just throw your hands up. But then they come back at some point and say, I did it and it didn't work. Do you understand? That's experience. And older people have what? Experience. They've been there. They've done that. It doesn't work. And sometimes a younger person, if they would put their pride aside, go to an older person, they got whatever problem, you name it, and say, how did you handle this? What would you do if you were me? And you might get some, what does verse 1 say? Every what? Wise woman. You want wisdom? You go to people that have wisdom. Every wise woman builds her house. You're building a home. Now, God has given roles to people. Men are to be protectors in the home. That's a role we have. If somebody was to break into my home, my role as a husband is to protect my what? My wife and my children. That's my role. I don't send my wife to the door if I hear a funny noise outside, okay? That's not how it should be handled. I'm the one that should go to the door and check out if there's a funny noise outside. We're protectors. Men are also providers. What did God tell Adam to do? 6 days you shall live by the sweat of your what? Your brow. We're to be providers. We protect our home. We provide for our home. That's our job. We're to work. God gave Adam a garden what? To keep. That was his job. Adam named his wife what? Eve. What does Eve mean? The mother of all what? Living. She's a life giver. A woman is a life bearer. She gives life. She's a nurturer of life. That's her role, is to nurture life. Men are masculine. Women are feminine. That's God ordained. That may run counterculture today. They're trying to blur clothing. They're trying to blur the sexes. They're trying to blur the edges. But God's word said he made them male and what? Female. That's God's plan. There's no third, fourth. Somebody came up with 21 different genders. I have no idea how that works. There's just male and what? Female. That's it. There's no other. And don't be ashamed of being a man. Don't be ashamed of being a woman. God's ordained that. God's ordained that. And if you're a female, every wise woman builds her home. You're a keeper of the home. That's what Scripture says. Your home is your focus. Now, your husband is out providing for you. He's working. And you got children under feet. Guess what you're doing? You're raising what? The children for the glory of what? God. You're raising children for the glory of God. That's your role. You're a keeper of the home. You raise children. Every wise woman builds her house. Now, in your home, as a wife, you have a husband. Are you building your husband? Now, think about that for a minute. Are you building your husband? Well, you might say, Pastor, how do I build my husband? You know how you build him? By encouragement. Because guess what? He goes out in the workplace and he works hard, but some days are a disaster. He can come home pretty defeated because he puts his hands to do something and everything just goes wrong. I remember there was a preacher named E.V. Hill and his wife. E.V. Hill, when he was a young man, they got some inheritance money. He bought a gas station before he was a preacher. And this was going to be their business, and But it's, you know how a woman has intuition? A woman just knows something because she knows it. She just pulls it out of the air, and this is what she told Evie, this isn't going to work out good. I just don't have a good feeling about it. But Evie was convinced. Well, after 2 years, they lost everything. Gas station closed down, lost everything. And Evie Hill told this story. He goes, you know, my wife could have devastated me. She could have just, because she was right and I was wrong. He came home that day when they foreclosed on that gas station, and he felt about this big as a man. Man, do you know what I'm saying? How does it feel to be a failure? You know, he felt like this big when they took away the gas station, couldn't pay the bills. And his wife did this. She sat down and she said, Evie, you're a righteous man. You don't smoke, you don't drink. And I figured out what people would smoke and drink and everything it would cost them, and it's a wash. Just forget about the gas station, okay? You're a good husband. You know how that made him feel? He said, at least one woman believes in me. You want to build a home, you build your man. You build him up. Because a lot of times he can be discouraged on the inside. And when he gets home, you know what he wants to see? A wife that's on his side. I got your back. Because life is tough sometimes. Every wise woman, what, builds her house. You build your husband up. And you praise him. Some wives, I know sometimes you got a husband that is difficult, I understand. But I guarantee you this, in human nature, every man needs respect. If you want to do your husband in, be disrespectful to him. You're going to tear down. Because what does the rest of that verse say? It says, but the foolish pulls it down with her what? Her hands. She's doing the damage. See, sometimes a wife can look at a home and it's just, it's crazy. And she blames the husband. Guess what Adam and Eve did? Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. Everybody just blaming everybody. Okay, God understands that. But there's some things within a human heart that never change. Men need respect. And they need a woman that respects them. Now, you may have a difficult marriage. I understand that. But how some people have put it, you want to get off the crazy cycle. In other words, a man needs respect, a woman needs love. A woman doesn't feel love, so she gives no respect. A husband doesn't feel respect, so he doesn't give love. And guess what you're on? The crazy cycle. It never stops. And that marriage is going to crash at some point. How do you get off of it? One or the other has to say, I'm going to love that woman even though she disrespects me. Or the woman says, I'm going to treat that man with respect even though he doesn't love me. And what you've done, if you've taken it to a higher level, because God sees you doing the right thing. You know, God says, love your what? Enemies. Your enemy may be the very spouse you're married to sometimes. And how are you supposed to treat them? You love them unconditionally. Now, there's boundaries. I got all that. There's points and times where things really fall apart. I understand that. But I do understand, too, that every wise woman builds her husband. He's in the house. And a husband builds his wife. She's in the house. Because every wise woman builds her house. But guess what, husbands? You got to be there to encourage your wife. Because some days, she's had the kids all day. I remember a fellow named Kevin I used to work with. And as soon as he'd come home, they had like 3 or 4 kids, I can't remember. Kevin said, as soon as he come home, the wife would tell him everything the kid's done wrong all day long. Here, they're yours, you deal with them. Kevin said, you know what I do? I get the mail, and I go right up the steps in the bathroom, lock the door. So for 20 minutes, I've just got peace, that's what he said, when he got home. He didn't want to deal with the kids, he didn't want to hear how bad they were all day. But guess what, when your husband comes to that door, that wife is, you know what she's crying out for? I need some help here, I'm in overload. I can't take these kids anymore. And if a woman is to build her home, guess what? The husband has to build the wife because she can't do it alone. Guess what? God put two together in the home. And every wise woman builds her house with her husband's help. Now, what you don't want to be, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. See, a wise woman builds her husband, builds her children, builds her life with the Lord. She builds an atmosphere of love in the home. All these things she builds. Now, I want you to turn here for a moment to the Old Testament here, just a verse in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. This is a husband and wife here. A wise woman builds her home. Look at verse 25, 1 Kings 21. "But there was none like unto Ahab." Now, Ahab was not a good king by any means. Ahab had a lot that he did wrong. And the scripture says that, look at verse, 1 Kings 16, don't turn here. "But Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." That was Ahab. How did Ahab get so bad? I mean, he did all this thing. All the kings of Israel before, and there was none like Ahab that did so bad. That's not a good testimony. You don't want to, you know, if that was his tombstone, that's what God would have put on it. There was none like Ahab so bad. But how did Ahab get so bad? Look at verse 25, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse. "There was none like unto Ahab who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord." Okay, we got it. He's a bad dude. "Whom Jezebel, his wife," what's those next two words? "Stirred up." Huh, what kind of wife is that? She stirred him up to do what? Evil. If a wife is building her home, guess what she is? She can be a voice of conscience to a husband that's getting off the tracks, that's going derailed. You know, a good wife will read the scriptures and talk to God about her home and her husband. And the husband's going down the wrong road. She says, "Sweetheart, I don't think you'd be doing this. Sweetheart, you see these taxes here? You're not claiming, you need to pay taxes on this. It's not under the table stuff." A good wife building her home is going to build a righteous home that's a voice of consciousness to her husband, not to stir him up for evil like Jezebel did, but to stir him up for righteousness. If you're going to build a wife's going to build a good home, she's going to stir her husband up by being an encourager to him. Do the right thing. Now, in the Christian church, across all denominations, there's more women than there are men. And you know what a good woman can do to her husband? Say, "Honey, we're going to church this morning." And he might say, "I'm tired. I worked yesterday, I'm tired." She said, "Get out of bed. I got your clothes ready, your shirt's on. We're going to church." She can encourage him, stir him up to righteousness. What does Hebrews 10:25 say? Look at Hebrews 10:25 here for a moment. Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what? Exhorting one another." A good wife building up her home can exhort her husband. "Hey, let's go to church this morning. It's the right thing to do." And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, time's going fast. My wife and I just talked about that this morning. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more time just, is that true? Is that true? It just goes, I heard one fellow say it like this: time slips away. First the hour, then the day. Time slips away. And the older you get, you know, what used to be a day is a week. What was a week is a month. And the years, just they just go by. The day is approaching. And this is the only day we have to live for God. Let's make the most of it. "Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hand." Well, how can you pluck it down with your hand? You know, if a woman has a rebellious spirit, now what's a rebellious spirit? I knew a woman one time. Her husband went to seminary, graduated, wanted to go down to North Carolina, start a church. I knew both of them. And he said to his wife, "We're leaving, you know, the house, we're renting, you know, we're going to pack the truck." And she didn't want to go. She said, I like the church I'm in. I like my job I work. I sing in the choir. I don't want to go." He said, "God's called me to start this church, and sweetheart, we're going." And they prayed and talked and prayed, but she would not go. And I was at part of this church at the time, and I just remember her husband, he packed the van, he had the door open, and he said, "Linda, I want you to get in the truck. We're going." She said, "I'm not going." He shut the door and drove down to North Carolina without her. And you might say that's harsh. When the leadership of the church heard about that, guess what they told her? You're at odds with your husband. You can't sing in the choir anymore. She used to work for the church as a secretary. Guess what? She lost her job. They said, you're in rebellion against your husband. You don't work here anymore. And all of a sudden she realized, maybe living with my husband isn't such a bad deal after all. And guess what? She went down to North Carolina. A rebellious spirit. Can a woman have a rebellious spirit? They sure can. Now, it's not, okay, let me put it this way. Our parking lot's full of cars. I guarantee you, you can't show me one car that's got two steering wheels. Would you buy a car with two steering wheels? Yes or no? Why is there only one steering wheel? It would be a disaster if there was two. Now, when I was a teenager, I had a friend, Ashby, and he was driving the car and I was with him. And I don't know, I just did this. I went over and grabbed the steering wheel like this on him. He's driving down the road. And he tried to get my hand off the steering wheel. Now, I got big hands. I got big forearms. I gripped that thing. He was beating on my, I wasn't letting go of the steering wheel. So he tried to cut over, break my grip. Well, he realized that if he broke my grip and he's pulling, all of a sudden when it relaxed, guess what that steering wheel is going to do? It's going to go whew, like that. And he'd wreck. I had him. Finally, he just said, would you please take your hand off the steering wheel? I said, sure, Ashby, I will. But, guy kind of thing, you just had this little power thing going on. But, I realized that a wife can be like that to a husband. She can reach out and grab that steering wheel and make his life miserable because he can't guide the car anymore. That's a rebellious spirit. And guess what that does to a home? What does Proverbs 14:1 say? The foolish plucketh it down with her hand. She says, I don't like where my husband's going. I grab that steering wheel. Well, guess what? That car is going to wreck because the husband can't guide it. The wife can't guide it. And that marriage is going to crash at some point. See, if you want to pluck your house down, then have a rebellious spirit. I guarantee it'll work. Satan has come to kill and to maim and to what? Destroy. That's his agenda. That's how he is. Where do you want to be? You want to be in verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness. Okay, you walking in an upright life. You're living life. You're moving through life. You're doing the Christian thing. You're honoring God. You're loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. You're loving your neighbors, yourself. You're an upright man. You fear the Lord. You're keeping his commandment. Now, this is the deceiver here. Some people think, well, I do a little God thing here, and I do my own thing over here. But the reality in the end of verse 2, but he that is perverse in his ways, you're not obeying God. You're just doing your own thing. And sometimes it matches up what God says, but in reality, deep down, you have your own agenda in life. You're perverse in your ways. How does God feel about your relationship? You despise him. And that's what it's saying here. If you're not yielded to God and you have your own agenda, I'm the captain of my fate, the captain of my life. I rule and reign. God didn't tell me what to do. God says, you're despising me. In other words, you're just casting him behind your back. You're despising him. Okay, look at verse 4 here in closing. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but by much increase by the strength of the ox. Can I paraphrase it? You got a home, a woman's building a home. Where no children are, the diapers are clean. But by much increase comes by children. Do you see what I'm saying? Does God want a Christian home? He sure does. Can a Christian home get a little messy sometimes? It sure can. But what do? You persevere. You do the right thing. You don't return evil for evil. You love one another unconditionally. You serve one another. And as women, you build your home God's way. You build your prayer life, you build your devotional life, you build your children up in the ways of the Lord, you build your husband up. You're doing these things. And God says, the Christian home, there could be much increase. There's so much more here we could talk about, but time doesn't permit. But this week, be a wise woman that builds your house. Be that kind of woman that builds your husband and your children up in the Lord. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've looked at here this morning. Lord, there's so much we haven't talked about, God. There's so many other issues that we could have covered. But sufficient to say that as long as we have a tender heart to you, God, you can fill our heart and spirit with what we need at this moment. I pray for each woman here representing the home they live in, that God, they would build a godly Christian home. And I pray for the men here represented, that they would build their wives so that the wives can build a home. That they wouldn't work against their wife, but they would encourage her and cherish her and love her as Christ loved the church. That we can have these Christian homes that, Lord, that God can honor and be honored in. And our children can be fruitful vines by the side of their parents, God. Lord, help us to this end. Help us not to be like the foolish that destroys our own home, but being selfish and self-centered and prideful and rebellious and lazy and just doesn't love our husband. Lord, these things, a woman can pull down her own home around her. Lord, let us not have any Jezebels that stir up their husbands for evil and not for good. Father, help us toward this end. May the Spirit of God give us discernment and understanding that we may apply your word in our lives, that we may be the men and women of God you've called us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.